Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, Attorney Todd L. Levitt, and you are?
Nikki Morsett.
Nikki, we're back.
We're back.
And if you're just tuning in for the very, very first time.
What took you so long?
And if you're just tuning in because you're always tuned into 98.5 UPS, we appreciate it.
Definitely we do.
So does the complete staff, all the staff at UPS.
Yes.
Absolutely. Big Sunday morning, what is taking place as we speak?
As we speak right now, they're lining up at the Juicy Bone Bar in Beaverton to get ready to leave for Michael J's Fun Run.
I want to give a big shout out to everyone participating, everyone who contributes. It's for a great cause. Michael J gives so much back to the community. I love you, Michael J. We miss you.
Yes, we do.
You'll be back soon, I hope.
Well, yeah, we hope so.
We hope so soon. We do.
We see him every now and then, so he's doing good. He's hanging in there.
And he loves the listeners.
Yes, he does. And the listeners love him.
Absolutely. So it's not too late to make it out there.
No, it's not. No, not at all. And if you can't make it to the Juicy Bone Bar, you can meet up with them at O'Sullivan's Pub in Harrison.
And what time?
That should be probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock, I'm thinking.
So what's the itinerary for the whole fun run?
Well, after the ride from the Juicy Bone Bar to O'Sullivan's Pub, Hank's Lounge, Coco Cabanas, ending at the Camp Sports Bar and Grill in Gladwin, then they're going to have a dinner, silent auction, a 50-50 raffle, all for $8 at the door if you're a rider, $10 if you're just going for the dinner and auctions.
Great cause. It's not too late to get out there and support that cause.
No, it's not too late.
And I want to announce that we changed the music from Van Halen to Dokken.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, look,
time for a change.
We used to play a lot of music on this show.
Yes,
because we wanted Todd Rock Block right here with Nikki Morissette and Todd Levin on 98.5 UPS every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. But we're a law show.
Yes, we are.
But at heart, I would love to sit here for an hour and just tear it up.
Oh, yeah, I know you would.
Turn and burn. Just like Top Gun, all energized, ready to go.
And I could see you doing that. It would be a great show.
I would put on a flight jacket like Tom Cruise and just rock it out hardcore.
There we go.
But we're a law show, and we have a ton of law to get to. But let me back up a second.
Okay.
The Dokken, we love Dokken.
Oh, definitely. I love Dokken.
My buddy James.
Okay.
He's a builder from Harrison.
All right.
I love James. Great friend. I call him, his company's like the James Gang.
Okay.
He's a great builder. Big shout out to James. He approached and said, hey, Todd, Van Halen, I'm getting tired, which I agree with.
Yeah, we've had it on for a couple months now. So,
and he
yeah.
said, how about Dokken? I said, it's in my iTunes.
There we go.
Dokken it is.
That's it.
Breaking the Chains.
That's a great song.
That's a great song. What other Dokken songs do you recall from the, well, I don't know, Dokken came about late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, I think so. I was in middle school then, so I don't remember listening to them till after I was in high school.
Oh, I love Dokken. Okay, let me refresh your memory. In My Dreams.
That's a good song.
Alone Again.
Yep, I remember that one too.
Yeah, love those songs. But we're going to play for the next couple weeks, maybe the next month, Breaking the Chains.
All right.
If you listen to the words, they still hold true today.
Going to have to give that a total listen.
Absolutely. Hey, I have a story.
Okay.
There has been some major, major activity in the state of Michigan in regards to the Senate and the House approving House bills and Senate bills.
Okay.
The action that took place over the past week or so dealt with dispensaries and edibles. So there's been some huge movement in that regards that we will talk about during the show. I will update the listeners on everything taking place.
That's great.
Because there's a lot happening.
There's always a lot happening. And now that we're getting closer to the elections, it's going to be a lot more.
I'd like to talk about marijuana clones to start off the first segment. Marijuana clones.
Okay.
Or cuttings.
All right.
Do they count as plants under the medical marijuana law? That's the question. Marijuana clones or cuttings, do they count as plants? This issue just came before the Michigan Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals says that cloned marijuana plants count against the number of plants a medical marijuana caregiver can legally possess.
Oh, boy.
I know, right? The clones or cuttings from a mature plant were the issue in this Grand Rapids case.
Right.
The police, in this case, found 21 marijuana plants and 22 clones in a grow room. And this ruling, by the way, Nikki, is the first in Michigan to determine what constitutes a marijuana plant. And this was in the Michigan Court of Appeals. I've had numerous cases, as other attorneys have, and listeners who have been raided, arrested. And when the officers who are just doing their job, you know, add up the weight or the number of plants, there's
right.
been a lot of confusion out there as to what constitutes a plant. So now the Court of Appeals is now putting forth their determination.
So
and the question is, you know, they need to determine at what point does a cutting from a mature plant that is placed in grow material become a plant itself that may be separately counted as a plant for purposes of determining how many plants you can have. The Court of Appeals said that the medical marijuana law does not provide a definition of a plant. And there are no other published opinions in Michigan, Nikki, that do interpret that. So, I mean, that's been the issue for so many men and women
yeah.
who have spent thousands and tens of thousands of dollars defending themselves, who are just trying to comply with the law.
And it's hard to comply with it if it doesn't make any sense.
Right. I would say that the key ingredient in any plant, let's just look at any plant, would be the leaf material.
Right.
And some kind of stem.
Yes, roots.
And some sort of root material, exactly.
And cuttings don't have roots.
Cuttings do not have roots. The panel said, this is the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, in determining what constitutes a plant, so the bottom line is, marijuana cuttings with root, you say root or root?
Root.
Root formation count as plants under the MMMA, the Michigan Medical Marijuana Law.
Okay, so it has to have a root.
Exactly.
Which is not a cutting.
But clones or cuttings, they say, count. Clone
wow.
marijuana plants count against the number of plants.
That doesn't make any sense right there.
Yeah. As a defense attorney, I would argue that the cuttings were only leaves, not independent plants.
Yeah.
How can a leaf be rooted in soil?
It can't.
Exactly.
It can't. So it cannot be your clone or cutting to be counted towards anything.
And again, if you're just tuning in for the first time, we're talking about a recent ruling in the State Court of Appeals that said that cloned marijuana plants count against the number of plants a medical marijuana caregiver can legally possess. So, Nikki, basically, there was another ruling in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati in which they were trying to determine what constitutes a plant for purposes of sentencing guidelines in a case, and they determined that a cutting is a plant if it has a readily observable evidence, as we just said, of a root formation.
Right.
And in Grand Rapids, the Kent County Circuit Judge, his determination was that once you have those components in place, you have a plant.
Yes.
And it went up to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals said that cloned marijuana plants count against the number of plants.
There's no roots, so it can't. How can it count? Okay, how can they argue that the clones had roots and to even use those and count them?
So just for a review, there was a case out of Grand Rapids where an individual had his house raided.
Right.
And they determined that he was over, had too many plants allowed under the act.
Right.
And this case went all the way up to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals ruled that in this particular case that a clone is considered a plant for purposes of counting how many plants a caregiver can possess.
Okay, and now it's just deciphering what a clone is.
So exactly. Well, the officer, because you and I were looking at each other, the officer testified that some of the clones pulled from the grow material had hair-like fibers growing from the main root.
So, which means they re-rooted, and that's counted as another plant.
Hair-like fibers. People are being prosecuted for hair-like fibers.
They're getting very, very technical.
And that leads to the next segment in which the Senate last week passed a number of bills that were pending that relate to legalizing dispensaries and edibles.
Okay.
Big news.
Yes, it is big news.
So when we come back from break, we're going to talk about that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. During break, Nikki was complaining because her chair needs what, Nikki?
WD-40.
WD-40. I have some WD-40 for my bike chain.
Okay, well, we need to use it on the bottom of this chair because it's making a lot of noise when I move.
So we're going to get the WD-40 that I use for my bike chain, and we are coming back and starting the show and ending the show now with Breaking the Chains by Dokken.
Yes.
How's that?
That's a great song.
We're talking today, folks, and if you're just tuning in, during the first segment, we were attempting to inform the listeners as to a new ruling that the Court of Appeals put forth regarding what constitutes a plant.
Right.
Now, the Michigan Supreme Court last week also rejected hearing the case that would have put on the ballot in November the issue of legalizing marijuana across the state.
I remember
Michigan Supreme
that.
Court refuses to hear the case. Very disappointing.
Yes, that is very disappointing.
But let's update the listeners. And again, there's a lot of listeners out there who could care less about anything and everything to do with marijuana. But we have a lot of listeners who continuously request this information.
Yes, because of, you know, with the upcoming election, yeah, they want to know.
And in November in Houghton Lake, and I'll give you more details later on, folks, we are putting on Cannabis Legal Group together with Levitt Law Firm, a huge conference seminar in regards to everything we're talking about and the business of cannabis. So stay tuned how to obtain tickets to that event because they will be limited.
Yes.
So House Bill 4209, 4210, 4827. That's a House bill. Senate bills 141 and Senate bills 1014. These are the bills that have been going back and forth in the House and the Senate for the last number of years in regards to everything and anything that has to do with cannabis, dispensaries, growers, processors, everything. And let me update the listeners. Out of these five bills, House Bill 4209 is really the centerpiece of this package. And I feel that the Senate, because the Senate has now passed some of these bills,
okay.
And last year the House approved 4209, 4210, and 4827.
Okay.
Okay. And the Senate has now approved their bills, although one of them has to go back to the House. But if you package all these bills together, here's what they say. And I believe that the governor is going to sign this within the next month.
Oh, all right.
And so if you take all these bills together, folks, they establish five license types. I've done my research. The license types will be for the individual that's a grower, processor, dispensary, transporter, and testing lab.
Okay.
That's good.
Yes.
They will. These bills together create three subcategories for cultivation licenses. One, get this. Ready for this, folks? With a 500 plant limit, one with a 1,000 plant limit, and one with a 1,500 plant limit.
Wow.
Set no statewide cap on the number of licenses that could be issued. Mandate an unspecified annual licensing fee for medical marijuana businesses. Institute a requirement that local governments must adopt ordinances to specifically permit marijuana companies and give their blessing, this is where the issue is, to those they want to set up shop. Municipalities, Nikki, also could establish their own licensing fees of up to $5,000 a year on top of the state fees.
Wow. Oh, man.
Require businesses to secure minimum levels of insurance, but it's unclear what that would mean. So that would have to be clarified during the rulemaking process.
Yes.
Allow some vertical integration while growers, processors, and dispensaries would be allowed to overlap. They could not hold transporter or testing lab licenses. So there will be some overlapping in regards to growers because if you're growing, you're processing.
Right.
And if you're a dispensary, you know, more than likely you're going to be allowed to grow, possibly process and sell.
Okay. Yes.
Don't hold me to that. I'm just sort of interpreting what these five bills together. If you read all the bills together, mandate lab testing for marijuana products to ensure, we're talking about edibles, they aren't contaminating. The testing also would determine potency levels.
Okay.
Very important.
Yes.
Now here's the big thing. Finally, legalize edibles and extracts for the first time in Michigan.
Well, that is the best news.
Absolutely. Now here's the other thing. And I already knew this because Representative Jeff Irwin informed us of this. Potentially establish a 2-year residency requirement that marijuana business owners and investors have to have a 2-year residency requirement.
Okay.
So you have to be a resident for 2 years.
Well, yeah.
Well, of course. We don't want people just coming into our state, but what's going to happen is out-of-state interests are going to team up with residents, and that's how they're going to try to get around the law.
Oh, I see.
It's called a straw deal.
Okay.
Illegal.
Yes.
I'm just saying, I'm going on a record. And this is what they use in other states. Require all marijuana businesses to use a seed-to-sale tracking system. So, but here's the problem. With all that being said, marijuana is still going to be illegal. So, folks, albeit what I just referred to is the fact that, you know, the governor is going to sign a law that I believe won't take effect for quite some time.
Right.
Just because a governor signs it doesn't mean it takes effect. It could take effect a year from now, even in 2018.
Okay.
But that's why it's so important to contact an attorney such as myself, 989-772-6000. I specialize in the business of cannabis. I'm associated with Cannabis Legal Group out of Royal Oak.
Right.
And that's why we're putting on this big conference in November. But how important is that, Nikki?
That's very important.
It's huge.
Yes.
But it's still not going to be legal.
That's what I don't understand. You're going through all these laws and saying all this is going to happen, but yet it still won't be legal.
Exactly.
What is going to happen to make it legal?
Well,
what has to happen?
Well, we already know what happened. The people signed petitions.
Right.
And our government blocked the signatures and ruled we're not accepting those. A lawsuit took place, and last week the Michigan Supreme Court refused to hear the case. Nikki, this is huge. But again, Nikki, what a conflict. First, we're going to legalize and legitimize dispensaries, processing, transporting, testing labs. But the thing is, it paves the way. Here's how I see it. Look at it this way, folks. The government is now doing what they should have done years ago when they passed the Medical Marijuana Act.
Right.
It was just, everything was gray.
Yes, it was.
Everything was gray. And one of the biggest gray areas has been the overages, what to do with dispensaries. It's been a gray area. So the Michigan State Senate finally moved to legalize and regulate medical marijuana dispensaries and non-smokable forms of the drug. And the bill was discharged, Nikki.
Okay.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And the bill, that, again, as I just said, the bills the Senate discharged work in concert with the House bills 4209, 4210, and 4827. They're now going to regulate dispensaries. And it's going to be regulated. And I did some research and spoke to some of our House reps and senators, and they used the alcohol regulations as a guide which is great.
Well, yeah.
And edibles are going to be legalized.
If you're
a cardholder, potentially, you could walk into a dispensary and legitimately and legally purchase edibles.
Yes, and that needed to be put on there.
So you ask what House Bill 4209 is, just to refresh your memory, Nikki. That's the bill that creates the Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act to license and regulate the growth, process, and transport and provisioning of medical marijuana.
Okay.
And it passed, no problem. House Bill 4210, and that actually amends the Voter Initiative Medical Marijuana Act to allow for the manufacture and use of marijuana-infused products, edibles.
Okay.
That passed. And House Bill 4827 creates the Marijuana Tracking Act and a seed-to-sale tracking system to track all medical marijuana.
Which is, yeah, they have to have that.
Exactly. By doing this, it just makes sense because it's huge. And it's going to allow now industry in Michigan to grow. Small businesses, individuals who have been out of work, it's just gonna grow so much business and so much revenue.
Yes, it will. We definitely needed it.
And it's going to generate, as we have been saying, much needed revenue for both the state and local communities.
Yes.
So, but these bills, the Senate, so the Senate took up some of the House bills, and one of them, I believe, is going back to the Senate.
Okay.
Just fine tuning.
Right.
But and I believe the state is doing what's right so that when the issue of legalization finally takes place, everything is in place to support it.
Okay.
Look at it that way.
All right. Yeah, that is a better way to
look at it. Don't
look
at it the other way.
Yeah. It's less confusing that way.
Exactly. But folks, if you're going to get involved and are interested in the business of cannabis, I specialize in that. And is this a solicitation? Take it however you want. I'm just trying to help the people. I'm associated with Cannabis Legal Group. We're putting on a huge seminar in November in Houghton Lake, the third Saturday, location about to be announced within the next week.
Okay, yeah,
huge.
They definitely would have to
or
be
contact
there.
My office for more information, 989-772-6000, because I deal with local communities, making sure people are complying with local ordinances, regulations, the federal laws, the building codes, contracts, distribution. I deal with all that. I'm not just a criminal defense attorney. I defend my clients, but I also defend their business interest as it relates to these issues.
Right.
We'll be right back, Nikki. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, joined in studio by Nikki Morissette. Nikki, what a huge show.
Huge show.
I am attempting to update the listeners on all the laws and Senate bills and House bills and everything taking place. I hope I did it justice because it's still confusing, you know, but I'm trying.
Yes, and there's just so much information there, but they do need to go to that seminar to get the full, complete details
in November.
On this. Yes.
The bottom line is, just to be redundant here, is that I agree with what the state is finally doing in laying out the entire process so once it is legal, that everything's in place.
Yes.
Because there's been way too many gray areas.
Way too many.
And that's the problem with a lot of laws. It's not just marijuana laws and issues. Throughout the decades when we were growing up, even the last 150 years, times change, people change, attitudes change, states change,
yes,
populations change. Men and women who are elected are trying to, they attempt to represent the interests of the people, their constituents, and how they now feel.
Right.
But the people of the state of Michigan have felt that they're elected officials have let them down, especially when all those signatures from MI Legalized were presented to the state, and then the governor a week later signs that bill essentially saying, hey, those had to be gathered in 6 months. And now the Michigan Supreme Court refuses to hear that case. But I'm pleased that all these House bills and Senate bills are now being passed. They're out of committee. And we hope within the next week or two, folks, that the governor actually signs this.
Yes.
Which will take effect, I believe, in 2017, 2018.
Okay.
Just because you sign something to take effect and pass a law, there still has to be all the compliance. So the governor will sign the law.
Okay.
Allowing growers, processors, dispensaries, transporters, testing labs, everything that has to do with cannabis, tracking system. But he signs it and says, okay, it will take effect 12 months from now, which gives the bureaucracy, which is way too big in most cases, but it gives the government time to now plan and put everything in place to assist these new laws and make them run smooth.
Gotcha.
You can't just sign it today and then tomorrow it takes effect and nothing's in place.
No, you can't do
that. If the state of Michigan is going to set up a licensing process. I mean, Lara's already jam-packed. I mean, Lara does a great job. The men and women who work for Lara.
Oh, yes, definitely.
But this is a big deal.
It is.
But folks, the local communities still have a right to control the local communities.
That's true.
I have a feeling some communities may fight these new laws. Not fight them because the law is the law. But the communities, and I'm not saying which communities, some of the men and women in these very small communities may try to pass ordinances to which lawsuits will take place, arguing the law is the law. We have a right to go into business.
I see.
But I think the local communities will regulate, you know, signage.
And they're going to limit how many they're going to
Which they have a right to do. You can't have a grow operation within so many feet of a school, which I understand and agree with.
I totally agree with that.
That's what they're going to do.
Right.
And they do that for a lot of other industries right now. Let's take, example, the porn industry.
Yeah, you can't have that anywhere near a school either.
Exactly. I mean, there's these adult stores. You know, back in the 80s, a good friend of mine, Steve Taylor, he's a great attorney, constitutional lawyer out of Farmington Hills, Steve Taylor. He defended all the 8 Mile strip clubs and all the bookstores in the 80s.
Okay.
Remember Larry Flint?
Yes.
AKA publisher of Hustler.
That's right.
He, you know, he fought for First Amendment and won.
Yes.
The People versus Larry Flint. Woody Harrelson played that role.
Yes.
Did he play Larry Flint?
Was it Woody Harrelson?
I think he did. I think I'm right.
Okay. You probably are.
But when the porn, these adult shops, at one time, communities did not want them there.
No, they didn't.
And look, folks. Nobody needs to know what you do, when you do it, how you do it. But that's a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Do you agree? Let me ask you. Nikki, raise your right hand. Do you agree to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Do you agree the porn industry is a billion-dollar industry?
Yes.
How do you know that?
I don't.
Nikki.
I'm disagreeing with you.
Don't agree just to agree.
It is a big industry, though.
It's huge.
Yeah.
But the problem is when there's over-regulation. There's too many regulations.
Right.
Everything's regulated. Everything has to be controlled. Everybody wants to get their hands in the coffer. Money, 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 money. And the person who loses out is the consumer and the business owner.
Well, definitely.
We see that time and time again. Taxes, folks, I got news for you. I've said it over and over. It does not matter if there's a Republican governor, Democratic governor. It does not matter if there's a Republican president, Democratic president. Take a look at the tax code. Go ahead.
I don't even
It's ridiculous. My taxes, it doesn't matter who's in office, state or federal, have never changed. They've gotten worse.
All taxes.
It has nothing
worse
to do with who's in office.
No, it does not.
False promises. The small business owner, I run a business.
Yes.
And I do pay taxes.
Yep, just like everybody else.
Well, probably there's a lot of people that try not to.
I wouldn't.
I pay
that.
My taxes. And it hurts, but I have no problem because that's what the law requires.
Right.
But it doesn't matter who's in office.
No, it don't.
And this, okay, Obamacare.
Are we going there?
We're not going to go there. I just want to say, when I was growing up, single mother, no father, you know, she worked. My mother worked very hard, did not take anything from the state. She worked.
Yes.
I'm not knocking men and women who don't that are in disability, but my mother said, I'm not taking state aid, and she went to work every day.
Yeah, and so did my mom because
exactly.
My dad wasn't around.
But the point is, there was a point in my life as I got older where I did not have health insurance and I was still in college.
Yeah.
And I needed health insurance.
Right.
So I understand the need to insure those who need insurance because you go to the hospital or doctor's office, and I've seen it firsthand. I have Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Right.
And if you don't have the right insurance, you're looked at differently. You're treated differently.
Well, you definitely are, and that's wrong.
And some of my best friends are doctors, and you know who they are. I love all my, because some of my closest friends are medical doctors.
Right.
And there's a lot, I know a lot of nurses. I know some hospital administrators. But the system is so skewed because not all medical hospitals, doctors, and staff do this, but the listeners know what I'm talking about. You go in there with something other than the best type of insurance, you're treated different.
Well, yeah, you are.
And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when Mark was on the show. The insurance industry controls the healthcare industry.
Yeah, I know.
That's but Obamacare, right. The Obamacare, folks, I'm telling you right now, my insurance has quadrupled. I'm paying for people out there that refuse to work.
See, that ain't right.
That are trying to survive on the backs of men and women who work very hard every day. And that's not right. Why should I have to pay for someone that's a slug?
You shouldn't. And nor should I.
Dead weight out there.
You know,
it's like when we had a fraternity and we'd have new members, we'd make them hold these weights. And we'd say, don't be dead weight. If you're going to join the group, then be an active. We don't want citizens who don't work. We want citizens contributing to this country and the economy to keep this country going.
Definitely.
To make it better.
Yes.
I sound like a politician. I am not running for office.
You know, you've said that before, too.
I am running for a glass of water here because this is my fake voice and it's going away. We'll be right back after this break on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Nikki, take us to break. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with Doc and Nikki.
Yes, we are.
Breaking the Chains.
Awesome song.
Have you ever broken the chains from somebody that tried to control your chains?
Yes.
Actually, there's a book, Dr. Joel Dwyer.
Okay.
Pulling Your Own Strings.
You know what? I think I've seen that book. I think great my mom
book.
Has that.
Don't allow people to pull your strings. We are emotionally affected by family members, loved ones, spouses, coworkers that will pull and yank your strings and chains.
Yes, we are.
Folks, take control of your life. It's your life. Your life is in your own hands. It's your destiny. You can make it whatever you want it to be.
That's right. And I am now, so that's a good thing.
I think as you wake up every day, think positive.
Be happy, smile.
Smile when you talk with people. Enthusiasm is contagious. But look, life is peaks and valleys.
Yep.
It doesn't matter who you are, your job title, how much money you have, peaks and valleys. But when you wake up every day, you have to tell yourself, it's almost as if you're doing step 10, where you continue to take daily inventory and when wrong, promptly admit it. That's step 10 in the AA
okay.
package. So,
well, that's a good step.
Yeah. Yeah, I work with a lot of my clients who go to AA.
Yes, you do.
And over the years, I have reviewed the steps.
Okay.
And I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a religious person, but I do like the steps that refer to make amends to people.
I believe in that too.
And
yes.
Wake up every day, take daily inventory, and tell yourself, I'm gonna have a good day. I'm gonna make some good decisions, good choices. It's the choices that get us in trouble.
You're right.
If you speed, you chose to speed.
That's true.
If you drink and drive and you get drunk and do something you shouldn't, well, you voluntarily at one point were sober and you voluntarily decided, I'm going to drink.
That's true.
Nobody held your hands down and made you chug the liquor and got you intoxicated to the point where you made a bad choice. You did.
That's right.
Make better choices.
We all have to make better choices.
Doesn't matter how old you are.
That, you know, it does not.
You can get healthy.
Yes, you can.
Literally.
Yes.
Baby steps. When you are down, there is nowhere to go but up. And tough times do not last. Tough people do.
Yes.
Our ancestors, everybody, we're human.
Right.
But I think back to our ancestors. We have it so easy.
Oh my gosh, no kidding.
Tens of thousands of years ago, our ancestors did something to survive so you and I and the listeners can be here today listening to the show and you and I sitting here doing this show.
Yes.
So really, it's our job to survive for our
future generations.
It's our job to survive for our descendants,
yes.
Those who come after us. It's human nature to survive.
Yes, to pass down good things to the future generations.
So my point is, if you really think you have it that bad, and there are a lot of people, there's a lot of sadness out there.
Yeah,
people
there
are
is.
Sick. They have terminal illnesses. There's a lot of things going on that are out of the control of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of depression. I'm seeing
there
a
is.
Lot of that.
And then there's people who are born with certain chemical imbalances and so on and so forth. You know, I believe in medication. I don't believe in self-medication.
Right.
I do believe in the legalization of marijuana.
Well, there's a lot of medical purposes for it.
I have seen men and women, and Dr. Bob, who's running for the 97th district, I'm a big supporter of Dr. Bob. He'll be on a show here soon. He is, you know, he deals with pain, but
yes.
I have seen people I know very close to me who have actually been able to wean themselves off pharmaceutical prescription medicine, a lot of it, because of the ability to obtain a medical marijuana card.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that, too, with a lot of people. And to get away from the prescription drugs, because you know that they only have the side effects, that you have to get more medication to cover those side effects.
But people, if you have the ability to go outside and take a walk.
Yes.
You don't have to run. You do not have to bike. Walk. go to a river. River is, to me, when you see a river, to me, that is life. Because we're made up of water. Water takes, boy, I sound like a philosopher. But if you think about planet Earth, the majority of the Earth is water.
Yes,
we are.
It is.
How much of us are water? A lot of us.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Not a lot.
Okay. We're going to look up the percentage.
You're making me Google.
We know that. Did you know that there's actually every human has gold in them?
No, I didn't.
Yes.
Not.
There is traces of gold in every single human. That is an absolute medical fact.
Where do you look this stuff
Nikki,
up?
Nikki, I'm not just a criminal defense attorney.
You're an encyclopedia.
Cyber lawyer, cannabis lawyer. I'm a walk-in knowledge machine.
Encyclopedia Britannica right there.
I have friends who listen to the show, all two of my friends. I'm joking. And they say, Todd, where do you get all this information? So Nikki is going to look up the percentage of the human body that is made up of water. Nikki, was I right?
You are right.
How much? We are made up of water.
Yeah, it says 90%, but it says by 1 year of age, that amount drops to 65%. In adult men, about 60% of their bodies are water. However, fat tissue does not have as much water as lean tissue. In adult women, fat makes up more of the body than men, so they have about 55% of their bodies made of water.
They say, whoever they are, that gold, I think, is found in your nails, your fingernails.
Wow.
0.2 milligrams of gold.
I would have never imagined that.
I cannot confirm that our bodies are made up of gold, but I love the show Gold Rush with Parker Schnabel.
Oh, I love that show.
I just want to say Parker Schnabel. If you're just tuning in for the first time and you miss any part of the show, during the first few segments, we were talking about the House bills and the Senate bills that have now been passed. One of them has to still go back to the House before the governor signs, which I think will happen in the next couple of weeks, which basically take all of the bills that have been around for the last couple of years, folks, and packages them all together to establish, as just for review, licensing for dispensaries in Michigan. They will legalize grower dispensaries, transporters, testing labs, discuss when you do have a cultivating license, how much you can cultivate, whether it's 500 plant limit, 1,000 plant limit. These bills together will establish a 2-year residency requirement for businesses and owners that would expire after 2 years. So, folks, all the House bills, 4209, 4210, 4827, Senate Bill 141, 1014, are all being packaged together for the governor to sign. If you want more information, go to MLive. I suggest MLive. Look up, go to Normal. Go to Am I Legalized? Go to all those great sources that all the citizens have done such a good job at of keeping us all informed. And Nikki, you can also re-listen to this show and all our other shows, which are trending very high.
Yes, iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud.
I'm pretty stoked about iTunes.
iTunes is hitting really high.
Big time.
Yes.
So folks, huge show today. Come November, again, Cannabis Legal Group, together with Levitt Law Firm, putting on a huge seminar in regards to the business of cannabis to help you establish yourself as a legitimate business owner once all these laws are passed and signed by the governor. Also, if you need to get in touch at my office, I'm a criminal defense attorney, driver's license restoration, cyber law.
Yes.
989-772-6000. Please support all of our sponsors you hear on the show. They're all products and services that are just outstanding.
Yes. Visit them.
Support all the sponsors of 98.5, period.
That's true. Yes. All the small businesses. They need help, too.
And we wish everyone who is participating today in Michael J's Fun Run have a safe, healthy afternoon. It's for an amazing cause.
Yes, it is. And enjoy your dinner and have a great time at the silent auction. It's a good turnout all the time.
And I can't wait to be here same time, same place next week. We never leave. Nikki, I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator. Take us out with some docking.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, the Sour Apple Smoke Shop in Mount Pleasant, the best damn smoke shop around, Dr. Robert Townsend for 97th District. Send a doctor to the house. Safe Ride Associates. Check with Neil for all your communication needs, from intercom to CB to Bluetooth, and by Innovative Insulation Systems. For those cold and hot days, make sure your insulation pays.